Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. Proverbs 30, verse 24. Today we're going to visit the zoo. And there are a number of little animals that we are going to seek wisdom from. Proverbs 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by band. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. It's not just about knowledge. The wisdom is, of course, the right use of knowledge. When I was at agricultural college, there was a student from the city. And, of course, country boys always had a bit of a laugh how city boys would look after the animals. And one day, this boy who was from the city was sent with a bale of hay to put in the feeding trough, we used to call it a manger, and feed the young calves. And the other bale, which was straw, was meant for the bedding. But whenever we caught up with him, he had done it the reverse way. And he had given the straw in the feeding tray, and he put the hay to lie on. And so this young guy, at very brilliant, student at agricultural college, but he had knowledge, but not wisdom. And of course, that is repeated over and over in many, many avenues of life. And we need to realize that when we come to the Bible, we can know many things. There are people that they know the Bible inside out, but they don't make the right use of the Bible. They can do things the wrong way around. There are people who come to communion thinking that it's going to save their soul. That's the wrong way around. You don't come to communion to become a Christian. You come because you already have union or salvation with the Lord, and you come to display your personal faith by taking the cup and receiving the bread. Likewise, with baptism, people can get it turned around, and they think that by being dipped in water or poured with water, that will make them a Christian. But of course, that's the wrong way around. We need to be changed in heart. We need to have the gospel in our souls, and then baptism becomes a vivid symbol of the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Now, Solomon, who gave us these various proverbs, in fact, it was King Agur who gave us these particular proverbs. Solomon wrote most of them, but some of them were written by different authors. And they gave us this illustration of four little animals who are wiser than men, wiser than people with great intellects, because these animals get it right. And the very first one that we are to draw wisdom from is the ant. Now, she is wise because she prepares in the summer. There is her wisdom. Now, the ant is called a people. As they have houses, they have towns, they have public roads. And the ant can be considered as people because they're busy going to work and they prepare in summer. Now, the ant is no doubt renowned for its industry, renowned for being busy. In the proverb 6, verse 6, we're told, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and be wise. The slogan at the front door of the anthill is, if you will not work, neither shall you eat. And the ants believe in the work ethic. And of course, this is a great exhortation to us to be busy, to not be slothful, but to use the gifts and talents we have. But of course, what's the point in just being busy if you don't do the right thing? I have a neighbor, and he was busy yesterday afternoon. He was down on his hunkers for hours, pulling out little weeds. And, you know, I must have thought this is some kind of therapy or other to try and relax the mind. He must have had a difficult week when he had to spend hours out hunkering down on the grass, pulling out one weed after another amidst the grass. Now, he was busy, but what did he accomplish? After those hours, he had this little pile of weeds. Spent all his time doing that. And I thought, in the scheme of the great creation of the world, here is one like a little ant, working busily, but profiting nothing. Really producing nothing. And the ant is wise because not only is she busy, but she's storing up for the winter. And she recognizes that there is a bad season coming. The winter season. The ice, the snow, and the storm. And so in the days of opportunity, in the days of sunshine, she is busy at work, making sure everything is in place. Busy with a good purpose. Now here is a very important lesson for us. You, no doubt in your life, are busy. Doing many things. Rushing here, rushing there. And as God looks down in this city, he sees us all as little ants going this way and that way and scurrying in all directions. But what do we accomplish? What is the purpose of life? What do we attain in this rush of busyness? And at the end of life, what will we have to show? The ant teaches us that she prepares for the winter season. I wonder, have you prepared for that winter that's going to come, when death will come, when judgment will come, when we will meet our great Creator and we will give account to Him of every word, every deed, every transaction we have made? Are we busy preparing for eternity? The right use of today is preparing for tomorrow. The right use of our time and efforts and our assets is that we will be in a stronger position even in that day of wrath. And so you are called to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, to put your trust in the gospel, and not be busy just in material worldly things, but to be busy for eternity, laying up treasure in heaven. Not just down here where it's going to burn up and be destroyed, but laying up treasure in heaven. Now the next little animal that we are introduced to here in the verse 26 is the coney. And the coneys are but a feeble folk. Yet their wisdom is that they make their houses in the rocks. And the best description that I can get of a coney is that it's something akin to a hamster. Now, a hamster is a very innocent little animal, and it's a very vulnerable animal. It has no fighting power, absolutely none, and it can chew and nibble and do all those crazy things, but when it comes to a predator coming to attack, very little.
that the coney can do.
And so its wisdom is that it builds its home near the rocks or in the rocks, so that when the enemy comes, it can scurry off and hide in the rock. And there is his wisdom. If there is a coney of a little hamster-like animal of this nature, and he says, well, I'm going to beat my chest and be a big tough guy, and I'm not going to be building near those rocks. I'm going to build out where it's open ground. I want a view property. And then the enemy comes and gets gobbled up real fast because he was not wise, did not build near the home. Now I wonder, do you gain the lesson from this little animal, the coney? Or are you building out in the open world in an independent spirit and saying, nothing's going to happen to me. I can make it alone. I don't need to be building or living and hiding in the rock. Here is wisdom. And we've got to realize and got to confess that human beings are very vulnerable, weak creatures. I know we can land a man on the moon. And I know we can send a spacecraft to Mars. We're not quite sure we can get it back again yet, but man can do many marvelous things. Man can come up with tremendous scientific achievements, technology that just staggers the brain. But when it comes to extending life, when it comes to the health of our own bodies, when it comes to the day and hour of our death, we're very weak, totally vulnerable. And one day the doctor's going to shake his head and say, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Your time is limited. Medicine will not help. All the advances of man will not help. Sometimes we may have, on the average, pushed the extended life maybe a few years. But those years will also fleet away very fast. And we need to be building on the rock or hiding in that rock. Death is coming. Disaster is coming, and we need a Savior. Do you have the Lord Jesus as your rock, as your Savior to run to when the enemy appears? That is wisdom. And here is a great lesson from this little coney. Now the third creature that we are given here as an example is the locust. And we're told that the locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. Now, the locust is wise because of the partnership they share. Locusts don't go alone. They go in bands or swarms. And we all know that a locust on its own, it's very small, very tiny. If you had one locust in your garden, you wouldn't worry. But usually when you see one, there's a thousand or maybe a million more that's coming. And when that army of locusts get working together, they can eat up acres and acres. Down in Utah right now, they're having an infestation of these rather large locusts, larger than normal. And they're just devouring everything before them. So many of them that they have to get out the snow plows to clear the roads. Amazing, they come in their multitudes. And their strength is in their number. One can do virtually nothing. But in swarms, they can just take over. Now the human mind is a very independent thing by nature. And there is something wrong in the thinking of even little children. Little children, no matter where you live, whether it's a farm or an apartment or a regular city home or whatever, little children growing up in their little environment, they think the whole world revolves around them. Isn't it? We know that, don't we? We think that everything just revolves around just their little world. And then, of course, we branch out a bit and we still think everything revolves around us. And we grow older and we still think God should stop the world just for me. And everything in the world should be just for me. And we have that independent streak, that independent nature. And we think we can do it alone. Now, you may get through part of life alone, but you can't face eternity alone. Without God, without being a member in the body of Christ, without being one of that multitude of saints redeemed by the blood of Jesus and built into that body of the Lord Jesus, you're all alone. You're not linked to the head who is Christ. You're not linked as a member of the body to a limb or to the trunk of the body. You're all alone. And as a sinner, unsaved, without the Lord Jesus in your heart, you're saying, I'm going to make it alone. Reminded of Frank Sinatra's song, I did it my way. There'll never be anybody singing that in heaven. They'll never sing in heaven, I got here my way. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the life and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so we need to take our lesson from the locusts, who alone is nothing. But when joined with the multitudes, what blessing. And there for you to be a member of the body of Christ, the believers and the saints of the Lord Jesus, you are a part of that heavenly army. I wonder today, are you saved? Have you asked the Lord to be your Savior? Are you saying, I need to join with God's people and make Christ my Redeemer? Because alone, I'm a nobody. And I'm lost and without hope. So today, consider the wisdom from the locusts. Then the last one is the spider. And the spider is held up as a good example to us because of the position that she occupies. You'll notice that the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. The spider could be placed along with the ant for ingenuity and for industry. Her hands are nimble to spin, and she can produce the webs of life very accurately. But it is where she dwells in this story that really impresses us. She's not willing to just dwell in a little cottage. She will even go into the king's palace. And believe it or not, in Buckingham Palace, there are cobwebs. Now, we would like to think they don't get to last very long. We'd like to think that the cleaning staff at the Queen's residence would not tolerate webs for long. At least in rooms that are used regularly. But I'm sure that somewhere in that huge mansion, there's a nook or a cranny where the spider has gotten in and spun her web and begun those cobwebs. She seeks a better home in the king's palace. There's the wisdom of the spider. She seeks to dwell in a better home. And of course, that's the wisdom of the Christian. The Christian has realized that this world is empty. Now, you may become famous, you may become rich, you may be very prosperous for a while. But all of that will end. And those things are vanity. And the higher you scale the heights of this world, the more disappointed you are with the things around you. And the more they fail you. And so the Christian has said, I need a better home. I need more than just this world. I need to be prepared for eternity. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof.
to make this world your home here, to build only on this world, is to build on wood, hay, stubble, which shall all be burned up. And you need to realize the need of a better home, a palace in the glory, to live with the King, to be wise and to surrender this thinking that you can make it in this world. You need to consider the spider who lives in the palace. Now the wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus invites you in. Spiders are not welcome. They are out. Because the Bible says no creeping thing enters into the kingdom of God. No creeping thing. But you have a soul. You were made in God's image. You were created with a nature with God already in your heart. Or I should say a capacity for God in your heart. You have a conscience which tells you what is right or what is wrong. You have a moral balance gauge that is telling you day in, day in, day out. You're doing right, you're doing wrong. And that conscience is preaching to you continually that you need God in your life. And you need to be rightly related to God. And of course, if you know that your physical existence is short, that you need to be ready for eternity and be saved by grace. The Christian gospel offers this eternal life. Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And if He lives, we shall live also. Paul said that he was going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. I tell you, Paul was a wise man. He renounced the world. He renounced everything as saving value of this world. And he cleaved to the Lord Jesus. Counted everything else as dung that he might win Christ. I wonder today, have you chosen that wisdom, that better part of wisdom, to say, I'm not going to live for time, I'm not going to live for this world, I'm going to live for eternity. And Christians are wise. Now the world looks on as if they're fools. Don't live to enjoy the pleasures of this world. They deny themselves these things. Why not? The wisdom is that Christians have renounced the world and have decided that the better part is to plan for eternity and live by faith. We have, like those in Hebrews 11, seen this better country afar off by faith, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what we're living for. Everything else is just a means to that end. I trust today you'll take wisdom from these creatures that we've looked at today, that you will be saved. You'll consider your soul and be wise. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. May you be exceeding wise and be saved, be ready for eternity and living for heaven.